Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. We are taking episode suggestions directly from there. In fact, we literally took this one this morning. It's that simple. You want to hear something? We'll talk about it. We got nothing else to do in August and September. So check it out. Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description. Of course, it's more than just episode suggestions. You get to meet all kinds of other Heat fans on there. Get off of Twitter. You don't want to be there for political season, right? So just talk Heat. $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes Prize Picks. Use the code 5. They have a new promotion there. It's better than the old promotion. You put down $5. They give you 50 to play right away. The code is 5FIVE. Download it from the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, or prizepicks.com. There's nothing to play, you say. You're not a baseball fan. All right. Football season's coming up. You can already get that Tyreek Hill prop if you want. Prizepicks.com. Use the code FIVE. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Brady, I promise we're getting you on there. I'm going to have Alana recommission that one. We need to get you on the on the preview here. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on the Five Reasons Sports. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. As we said, we're taking episodes directly or episode suggestions directly from Off the Floor, our Discord server. We are going to start the top 40 players in Heat history at some point. At some point this week, we will start that. Probably going to break it down into five different episodes, and we're planning on actually going from one down to 40 instead of the other way, because I mean, the top eight are in some order, okay? I mean, we kind of know where this is going, right? It's Dwayne, it's Jimmy, it's Bosch, it's LeBron, it's Zoe. There'll be arguments made for Bam, for Dragic. I mean, we kind of know sort of who's going to be in this mix. But when you start getting down to 30 to 40, that's where this is going to get more interesting. So, you know, Greg and I will commence on that, and we may get Brady and Alex involved in it. We're not going to have you break down Bimbo Cole's tape, but maybe you can help settle some arguments on some of the more recent guys. But in this episode, we're going to talk about something that gets discussed a lot on our Discord, which is whether or not the Heat need like a floor general type. And we were going to have Sean Rochester on this episode. He couldn't make it, but I do believe that Sean's feeling is that we make too much of the positions and all the rest of this. But the game has changed, Brady, and that's kind of what I want to get into this. I mean, I will ask you this. Right now, do you believe that the Heat have one, and who is it?
Yes, Drew Smith. That's their floor general.
Is the traditional point guard on the roster right now? Well, I guess Isaiah Stevens is on Exhibit 10, right? Does he count?
To be honest, yeah, I don't know if he's definitely in the mix as well. But to be honest, it's why when everybody screams at Drew Smith all the time and why Spo plays him, partly the only reason was that he was like a under control floor general type point guard. He was one of the only ones on the roster and available in those games to begin last season. That's why he kind of leaned on him in that way. So that kind of shows that they don't have that type of player. And it's partly some of the reason why when we were having free agency talk, why Tyus Jones kept popping up, because I think we all kind of knew that that's the type of player that could fit the things that Spo wants to do. And that's the key here. It's like, we always talk about these bigs and everything. We're like, all right, would Spo play them? Spo likes under control point guards. He likes guys that are going to set up his offense and he can trust throughout a game and late in game. So like, this isn't one of those things that like they wouldn't play. Like he likes that type of build, but obviously on this roster right now, like we've done episodes on the rotation, there's just not many. Like their playmakers lie mostly in the front court, and that's just the way this team is constructed.
Would you say that Goran Dragic was a floor general?
I don't know. I don't know if I would call him a floor general. I think floor general to me is almost. I mean, it was Kyle, right? Like Kyle's a floor general. He's somebody right. That wasn't shooting, that just strictly wanted to just slow the game down at times. He could speed it up obviously on the break and hit ahead passes, but mostly just slowing it down the half court and being able to set up your offense in that way and just being under control, low turnovers. That's just that. I don't know. I'd like the Terrys, the Gorons, the Nuns, like all these recent point guards they've had. I don't think they are under floor general.
Okay. And Lowry was acquired to be that, right? And like you mentioned, he did organize offense most of the time. He also did a lot of pointing. I used to mock that at times because I didn't really know what he was doing. But one of the things we talked about with Kyle was like this idea of, for instance, like getting Bam to be more aggressive. Like that's a floor general type thing, like throwing the ball into him and clearing out. So force him to kind of make his own play. He did some of that stuff, but also when I think of a floor general, I think of a guy who in the last 4 minutes, 5 minutes of the game, when it's tight, the coach puts the ball in his hands and has him create the actions, okay, or initiate the actions. He didn't do a lot of that. He really didn't. Like he would get the ball in the backcourt and then bring it up and then pass and hand it over to Jimmy, basically, like a lot of the times, right? Or again, they would run it, you know, they'd get it when Duncan was in the game, they'd get into some kind of an action with Bam and Duncan, or maybe even Tyler and Bam. I don't feel like he was that. And Dragic was more of a score first player, but I guess this is the overall point with this. Okay. As people say, do they need a floor general, one person to take control? How many teams have that right now? Like I'm going to go through the list. Okay. Because the game has changed in that way, because wings started, I mean, LeBron was a big part of this. Obviously, Miami put the ball in LeBron's hands a lot. Was Mario Chalmers, I mean, you're old enough to remember this, was Mario Chalmers a floor general for the Miami Heat?
I don't think so. I mean, I think when players are like playing mostly off ball, I don't call them floor generals. Like when they're, and that's what Miami's backcourt's been, it feels like, for a good portion of the last decade.
And a lot of that is because, again, you had Dwayne, I mean, prior to LeBron, that, okay, mm-hmm. So Dwayne was going to handle most of the time. I look at the Lakers, okay, because there's a model here that was followed, and it goes back to Jordan's Bulls, all right? Until Ron Harper arrived, and Ron Harper was an elite two guard at one point before he blew out his knee, okay? He was a guy who could get you 22, 5, and 5. Like, he was a high-level two guard, one of the more underrated players in the league. One, by the time he got to the Bulls, he was kind of broken physically. And so he was just like a smart player, okay, who could defend. But prior to Ron Harper becoming the guy, Jordan's point guards, so to speak, in Chicago were B.J. Armstrong, who had like a little offensive flair to his game, but was mostly spot up. John Paxson, purely spot up. Steve Kerr, purely spot up. Okay, these were the guys that he had around him. And so then the model was followed with the Lakers, where they had a Jordan-like player in Kobe, and it was Derek Fisher. And I remember having a conversation with Rio, and Mario and I got off to a bad start. We ended up becoming pretty close as reporter-player relationships go. But, like, we got off to a bad start because I wrote a piece about how Mario needed to be the Derek Fisher of the Heat, okay, which was, like, the guy who played off a star like Dwayne and essentially was an off-ball player, defended, did the dirty work things. And by the way, Derek Fisher won a bunch of championships doing this and was a starter, and he made a ton of big shots. And Mario looked at me and goes, I ain't no Derek Fisher. Okay, because, I mean, Mario thought he was the Dwayne of the Heat, basically. But that was sort of the model. The Heat followed that model with Dwayne and LeBron, where they had essentially Rio filled that role. Now, Dragic, more of an offensive player, but again, not a set-up-the-offense type player. And Lowry was more that. But again, looking at like the current NBA point guards. Okay, so this is like a Hoops hype list that was put out last year, ranking the 23-24 point guards. So it's a little dated, but not too dated. Their number one point guard is Luka Doncic, okay? Which is probably right, right? But he's not a floor – is he a floor general?
I feel like he is. To me, he is a type of floor general. Like in today's NBA, like – I mean, a lot of the floor generals are high-level scorers as well. Like just because you're a floor general, I don't think means like you don't try to score like Kyle was, you know, toward the end of his Heat career. But Luka's a floor general. I think when you're that good of a passer and see the floor like that, like LeBron's a floor general to me.
Right.
Just because he's that good of a passer and can read defenses. So I think it depends. Like, I think it can all shift. Like, in some ways, we've seen Bam kind of be Miami's main floor general. Like, I wouldn't call him a strict floor general, but he's been Miami's floor general, it feels like, for a good portion of the last few years.
Right. Is Shea – okay, here's this number two point card. Is Shea a floor general?
I don't know if I'd say he's a floor general. I just think he's a bucket.
Right. Well, I mean, there's been some conversation. I mean, they had Josh Giddey playing next to him, and Giddey handled a lot. Like, that was – I mean, because Giddey couldn't shoot. I mean, this year they're going to go a little bit of a different direction there. Jalen Brunson.
I wouldn't say strict floor general, no.
I think Knicks fans would.
Would you?
Well, they'll call him the best. And Knicks, look, in New York, they're familiar with floor generals. Like, that is what the city of New York produces, right? Like, Mark Jackson was a floor general. Like, that he was a prototypical New York point guard. Rod Strickland, okay, another guy that the Knicks had for a period of time. Prototypical New York point guard. They had Doc Rivers. They had Derek Harper during the Riley years. More floor general types, although Derek Harper by that stage had become a little bit more of an off-the-ball player, and Starks handled a lot. But the thing is, like, I think they would say Brunson is, like, in that sense. Like, everything starts with him, but he's not an elite passer. I mean, that's the one thing about his game. Like, Tyrese Halliburton is a floor general, right?
Yes, that's the one. And I think LaMelo Ball, another one. Like, I think he's a floor general. But, like, just because you're a good passer, I don't think means you're a floor general, you know? Like, I think Brunson's a good passer. Like, he can run an offense, but floor general is where it gets weird. So I think – to your point, to the reason why I think this exercise report is, like, there's not a ton of floor generals in the league. And I don't think, when we're talking about from Miami's perspective, that they need a starting floor general. For me, I think it's more so they need somebody that can be a backup floor general. Because, like, you talked about it, you brought up the Kyle example. So Kyle came in and was really crucial that first year for Bam, like getting him the ball, putting him in his spots, making him go. Bam's who he is now. Bam is – he doesn't need that anymore. I think he's past that. He needs somebody that can give him some lobs and pick and roll, and I don't think that has to be a floor general. He needs that. I'm more so thinking – I think like guys like Ware off the bench need a floor general, somebody that can get them the ball. Young guys, it's more so those type of players. Like what the conversation they have in San Antonio last year where nobody could get the ball to Wemby constantly on the – lob it up to him or get him the ball. And they had a semi-floor general in Trey Jones. So – that's where it gets weird. I just think it's more so, I think they need floor general depth where it's not like they're going to get a floor general and he's going to be starting over Tyler or Terry, you know?
After the break, we're going to get more into Terry specifically, but let me go through the rest of this list. You just give me, you say yes or no here, because this was the rest of the list they had last year. Number four, they had Tyrese Maxey. No.
No.
Steph Curry. And who is theirs then?
Kyle.
They don't really have one.
It was Kyle.
Right? I guess, right? That's why he played towards the end of the season. He's not there. Well, he re-signed there, right? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
You should know.
I try to block all Kyle things out of my memory. All right. Steph.
That's the hard one because I don't know if I would say he's just like if, this is where you get really weird. You start using words like game manager. You start using like football terms. But like this, Steph is the one who changed, I feel like, the idea of the floor general because Miami based their offense in this way where like teams, because of the Steph type offense, are leaning away from the traditional set up your offense that way, and it's way more motion, and that's what Miami does, and it's why I think Miami probably needs to lean more into that than probably the traditional setup offense, because I don't think their roster is built for like a let's slow it down in the half court, make things like I think they're built for motion. I think they're built for like Jaime back cuts, Jovic and Bam playmaking at the top being hubs, Duncan and Tyler running off handoffs and spot ups, all of that stuff. Like that is what their roster is built off of, where I think it gets a little funky at times when they start to slow it down in that way.
Fox?
He's teetering, but I'm probably if strict. I'd say lean no.
Kyrie?
No.
I mean, we can't say it's Luka and then say it's Kyrie, right? Like this.
Yeah, no.
Dame?
No.
Jamal Murray?
No. That's also a good example because
Jokic is the floor general, right? He's the center. Well, they had Harden on this list. I don't know about that. Now Trey's an interesting one.
I would say
he has the high assist counts, right? But yeah,
he's definitely.
They had Drew on here. I don't think Drew is. Drew's just a do everything guy. D'Angelo Russell has certainly put himself in that category, but I would say no. Kobe White, I don't think so. I mean, so again, Fred VanVleet. Not really. I mean, he wasn't when he was playing with Kyle, Darius Garland. I mean, a lot of these guys that they're characterized as point guards, Cade Cunningham, etc. I mentioned Giddey was on this list. I mean, Mike. Okay, here's a good name. Then we'll go. Mike Conley is a floor general.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional, set up the offense, right? Like that. Mike Conley is that guy. But then now he's playing with Anthony Edwards, and so he's kind of shifted a little bit more into that sort of, because Edwards is that kind of Wade, Kobe, LeBron type player, right? Or more Wade, Kobe, where he's more of a spot up shooter. And that's the thing. As these twos and threes, as these wings, and even centers now have been given more responsibility for initiating the offense and starting the actions and the ball being in their hands in the last 5 minutes, then these ones, either they're big time scoring ones like a Curry or a Kyrie or so, and I don't even know who's the one with Dallas, but or they're spot up shooters. And so I want to get to this with Terry after the break, because again, I think this is one of these topics where we talk about it so much, or fans talk about it. They need this guy, and I'm like, okay, but other teams are not operating with that guy anymore because the game has changed. Do you want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network? Our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. They'll take you through the entire process. We recommend you get in their preventative program, because once the leak starts, you got some problems. But once you see the leak, at least stop the problems before they get worse. And of course, if they do get worse, if you haven't reached out to them by then they can do the damage assessments, the cleanup, and everything else. They got you covered every step of the way based in Boca Raton, service the entire Tri-County area. They also actually go out to the West Coast as well. They do a lot of work in Fort Myers if you're out that way on the other side of Alligator Alley. So check it out. WCUFL.com. Michael Robert and his team have nearly 100 five-star reviews on Google. If you've got the schmutz, Water Cleanup has the guts. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVE. FLOOR, name of this podcast, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this?
because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so Terry Rozier is what? He a point guard? He a guard? He's a scorer? He's a playmaker? He's what?
He's a bucket. He's a scorer. Like, that's Miami brought him in, and that's why I thought it was a little weird when they first brought him in last year, when the conversation I was like, almost like, okay, this is elevated Gabe Vincent. Like, he's going to do and be a kind of like a semi-role player and playing this role, and we learned pretty quickly it just didn't make sense. You don't go and get a guy like him and play that style. You have to let him off his leash a little bit and be the scorer that he was. Be a tough shot maker. Be like that type of player. And he could play off of that. The issue was, I feel like at the beginning of his tenure, it was like he was trying to lead with the passing and then get to his scoring. And that's never been his formula. He has to lead with the scoring and see if the playmaking come from that. But I definitely wouldn't characterize him as a floor general. Like, he's not that type of player. He's more of a get your own bucket type of guy, and that's where the question becomes, because everybody wants Bam to be more of that lead guy coming off this Team USA thing, where he could be more of a scorer, he could stretch the floor, do all this stuff. And we're kind of looking around and saying he still might have to do a good bit of playmaking with this team. Like, he's still gonna have to be a big trigger for this offense. So it's more so, like I said before, with some of the other guys, like Terry and Tyler have to be good passers, just average good passers that make certain plays. They're not going to be much more than that. They have to play their game and be the scorers. And that's why it feels like the starting guys will be okay. Like, they're not going to have problems, I feel like, with the floor general stuff. The issues is going to come off the bench, where it's like, okay, Alec Burks and Josh Richardson are bringing the ball down the floor. Ware's setting a screen for them and rolling. Nothing's really being made of the offense, and everything's going to be problematic. So it's like, then that's when the staggering's going to have to kick in. But also, that's when we're going to be having the conversation around December. We're going to say they need to get a backup point guard.
Can Isaiah Stevens be that backup point guard, or is he too small?
I think he can be. I mean, he's a very talented passer from what we've seen. Like, there's no reason not to give an opportunity. You just have to put the right lineups around him. You cannot be playing small backcourts with Isaiah Stevens at the one, because you're going to have some problems defensively. They'll probably have to go more zone with him in those lineups. But obviously the topic is offensively. He's a floor general. Like, he's somebody that could make every pass in the book, skip passes, lobs, everything. Like, he can make passes on the money. So he's somebody, like, the fact that he should be on a two-way by the time things turn around, because he's the type of player build that they need. He's the missing type of creative piece.
Oh, okay, so let's say that he becomes that instead of, say, Drew Smith, or they don't go with maybe Josh at the point experiment again, which, you know, we know that's not really Josh's game. They've tried that at times. I remember they sent Josh down as a rookie to Sioux Falls to, like, run thousands of pick and rolls just to, like, to try. But again, it's just not instinctually, he's not a point guard. He's a two guard who can get into kind of the crevices, the mid range, and then that builds his 3-point game off of that. who would be the backcourt mate for an Isaiah Stevens? Because you said, okay, they need to defensively cover it up. So it's not going to be Duncan. It's not going to be Tyler. You can't really play him with Terry. You're really small then. Right. Although Terry's got a little more wingspan than a couple of those. I guess you could, right? If you want to get Terry off the ball. Or is it Josh? Honestly,
probably Josh.
It's probably Josh. Yeah.
It has to be Josh. Because if Josh is playing, that means he's much stronger defensively than we saw at certain points last season. Like, they need him to be really good defensively. They need him to be a dog at the point of attack. They need him to be able to play the press and the zone and all that other stuff and be a problem there. Or you could go bigger. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, if you play like a Jaime at the two, like we talked about, like, I think that's where you could play a little bit bigger in some lineups where maybe you have Stevens, Jaime, Haywood, Ware, and then throw another wing in there, whether it's, I don't know, Jovic or Jimmy or somebody there. Like, you could play bigger in some ways and play in that style. But it probably is Josh. Josh needs to be playing in those. Like, they were really forced to give into that backup point guard slot last season when we were also talking ourselves into it, like how it could work. Like, how could it possibly? But I think as we've seen last season, he plays better when once he got into flow from three, where he had that good stretch before he got injured. It was much more off the ball. It was much more off catch into mid-range free throw line jumpers. And he can make kick-out passes, yes, but he's not going to set up your offense or play that point guard style. And he could be loose with the ball at times. So, like, you don't want to lean totally in that direction as well if you're trying to take care of things.
I want him to play instinctually, and it's hard when he's the guy bringing up the ball. It just is. It's like when you're asking him to run numerous actions, he's better again instincts and flow. Like, that's been his game since he came in. And focusing on defense and the little things, and he can be a valuable player for them. And I thought he was starting to turn into that prior to the shoulder injury. I thought his last 3 weeks prior to the shoulder injury were very good. It was earlier this season was a struggle, but yeah, I think it's more of that. But again, I think we've got it. The thing is, and I think this is always going to be an issue as we close here. It's always going to be an issue if the Heat don't have a good offense, where it's like, okay, if you just had somebody who could organize it, take sort of it out of Spo's hands, you know, create these read and react type plays, play off of instincts. And that is the one thing Kyle had, like, and you talked about this before we came in today. Probably the last team to win a championship with a traditional point guard was Toronto with Kyle Lowry. But at that stage, that's the role he was playing, even though they had Kawhi, they had Siakam. They even could run offense through Marcus Sol, who was a very good passer as a center. Like, but ultimately, the ball was in Kyle's hands when it mattered. By the time he got to Miami, he wasn't that guy anymore. Like, not consistently. There were stretches of it, but he like was only that guy when everybody else was out. Like that 1 month stretch where he was out bad without Jimmy, and he was rolling with all the G Leaguers and all that. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh wow, this is why you need a point guard. And I think that you know, that gets to kind of what you're saying about the bench now, where it's like, oh, that's where you need a point guard. But when you've got Jimmy and Bam in there, and you've got Tyler's going to be in there too, and Terry, you know, there doesn't necessarily have to be one guy who organizes everything. But then it's on Spo and the players to kind of create the actions that are going to get guys free, where it's not just, okay, we got to go back to the Duncan Bam dribble handoff because that's all we've got.
The backcourt's crowded, and that's why it makes this a little bit more difficult. That, like, even if they were to pick up a traditional point guard to slot in there, like, there is so much it's just crowded there that I think the swing player is Jovic, because we always jump around and say point Nico or this and that. He can be a player that can be a connector as a playmaker in so many different ways. Like, at the top of the key, they've leaned into that. Teams have countered and said, we don't think he's going to, like, overpower us with size or play with his back to the basket, so we're going to put our smallest guy on you. The next thing is that he starts putting his back to the basket a little bit more, and he can playmake over the top of that. Like, when we were just going through that list of the bigger playmakers or the bigger floor generals, they all do that. Mm-hmm. They get the mismatch, mm-hmm, and they playmake over the top, and I do believe he has that in him. Like, he is a very good passer. He just makes really good reads. So I think if that's kind of the key here, so it's like, if you start to look around and say, how do we make this work with not playing our scoring backcourt? Because they have to play, mm-hmm, those guys. They have to lean into that. They can't just bench those guys for a floor general. Nico could be the guy that could slot in at the three or four and, mm-hmm, be a connector. And that would be the most ideal thing possible, where he's shooting around 38, let's say 38% from three on spot ups. and also being that piece that he can kind of get other guys involved and he could slow down the game or he could speed up the game, as we've seen on the break. He's the swing player on the roster right at this moment. So we'll see what that looks like. I really do believe, though, in camp, in preseason, I want to see so many reps for him on the ball because he didn't have a lot with the Olympics. Like they first of all, he didn't play much. But when he did play, he was sitting in the corner. He was playing off the ball. A couple times he would play that back cut or that baseline. I want to see him with the ball in his hands because I think he needs those reps. They're important, and this team needs them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think that is worth watching. All right, interesting topic. Appreciate you guys throwing this stuff on off the floor for us. We'll have more episodes coming up this week. Check out the one that I did with Greg. Is it still winning or misery for Pat Riley's Miami Heat? It was one of those episodes where Greg and I are like, do we have anything to talk about? 37 minutes later, we're out. So make sure you check out that one, and I'll be doing another one with Alex this week. Thanks to everyone. Also, always want to mention, if you want to sponsor Five on the Floor, this is the time to reach out to me, DM 5 Reasons Sports Twitter account. We've got a couple of slots left, not a lot. So we got a couple slots left for the season. If you want to jump in, this is the time. Also, if you're a Dolphin fan, we do have some room on our Dolphins content as well. And of course, that's cranking up here in a couple of weeks. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.